Welcome to Sustainable Voices. I'm your host, Thomas Walsh. I was recently invited to attend a conference on peak oil and food security organised by the Garden of Eden project. During this conference, we had the opportunity to listen to various groups and individuals that were dealing with the issue of peak oil and food security. In the last show, we heard from Richard Heinberg as he talked about peak oil and its effects on agriculture. In this show, we'll be hearing from Les Tate and Amadis Lachetta from the Garden of Eden project. Les is the CEO of the Garden of Eden project, where he coordinates and guides strategic direction. Amadis is the project coordinator and director of urban permaculture. In this presentation, they talk about the versatility of community gardens and how they provide not just physical nourishment, but also improve mental and physical ability, strengthen community ties, and provide vital green space in our cities. You're listening to Les Tate and Amadis Lachetta.
As I said at the start of the day, we have our own community garden, which we've built over the last 5 years at Albert Park Railway Station. And while we learned there, we found that we had a model that we could take on the road, which we've done around Melbourne. We've built a number of gardens for other community organisations and for government stakeholders like DHS and Vic Health. I just wanted, before I hand over to Amadis, who's going to talk about one of those gardens in particular, I just wanted to focus, I guess, on that aspect of what we do that is about community health and bringing those aspects together from the environmental side that are also very much about the people and the, without being too corny, the community side of community gardens. And just emphasising that we realise that there is a very strong and very important push and promotion for fresh, healthy food. And those of you who are involved in the community health and public health sphere would know that Vic Health in particular are focusing on this issue as well. And that is fantastic, but of course for a lot of people it's very difficult to access that fresh, healthy food. And the question is, where is it going to come from, as we've heard this morning? And that, I guess, is a very central and important part of what the Garden of Eden is about. It's about enabling people to find and develop those spaces where they can grow that fresh and healthy food. And what we find is that when we build a space like that or when we support an organisation that does that, it's not just about the garden. It's not just about the plots in the soil. It's about the people who come together, and it's about the other physical structures in the area, like a pergola or some sort of meeting place that's related to the physical garden space, and that these places become enabling spaces for the people who want to use them. And very quickly after a garden's built, we find that the original stakeholders or the original people who drove that project are joined by others, and they'll be joined by a play group or a group of elderly people who are looking for some healthy, active outdoor activity. I think that's enough. I've set enough context for Amadis to take you through a particular garden that we built last year.
A few over the last couple of years.
Okay, there you go. Enjoy. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. It's really nice to feel that although I don't know a lot of you, I feel like I'm just with a group of friends. This conference very much has that feel, so it's really nice to be able to communicate in that way. What I'd like to take you through in this presentation is to look at the diversity of community gardens in a lot of different places and with different communities, the flexibility and the definition of what a community garden actually is, the process of creating community gardens, who's involved, how does it all happen, the benefits of community gardens, and what worked and what didn't work with different community gardens. And this is a gorgeous picture of my grandmother, which is unfortunately a little hard to see with the light coming through the windows. But I thought I would just start with a homage to her. She grew from the soil at the foot of the Carpathian Mountains in the Ukraine. Her name was Eudokia, and in my memory, she will always be remembered for the things she loved most and devoted so much of her life to, which was gardening, cooking and handicrafts. Her presence was solid and enduring, yet it wasn't until my late 20s that I realised how much my own love of plants, gardens, food and the arts had been influenced by her. The home of our growing up in Yarralumla was planted with an orchard and huge vegetable garden. We had about 12 fruit trees that she planted, including huge walnut trees, sour cherries, plums, apricot, peaches, the works. And I actually remember hurling rotten apricots across one of the blocks between us and the neighbours two doors down. We had this massive food fight. So our youth was peppered with both the flavours of her culture and fresh fruit and veggies from the garden. She was renowned for her culinary skills, a legendary sauce maker, a frugal and resourceful mother of three children. She survived wars, leaving her country of birth, the death of two children, and remaking her life in 1950s Australia. Despite polio, which forced her legs into calipers throughout her life, she was undeterred by hard work and always drew forth an abundance from the earth. When she died, her doctor fondly commented to us that she actually had holes in her knees. All that kneeling and touching the earth, what a beautiful prayer mat her garden was. So on to the Garden of Eden. We're a not-for-profit organisation, as Les has mentioned, and we work with communities to enhance well-being and health through community gardens, permaculture education and integrated food security initiatives. We are pioneers in the field of urban agriculture and sustainable living, teaching by example and facilitating self-reliance, collaboration and community empowerment. We partner with complementary government and non-government organisations in health and education to develop and deliver holistic programs and projects and workshops in conjunction with local communities. So this is just a very quick snapshot of the work that we've been involved with over the last 2 years. We've run 7 Work for the Dole programs in metropolitan Melbourne, trained more than 105 Work for the Dole participants in horticulture, landscaping and permaculture, worked with diverse members of the community, including public housing residents, school staff and children, community health workers, residents in transition housing, Work for the Dole participants, community volunteers, veterans and other community members. We've assisted in the design and creation of 6 new community gardens and upgraded 28 private gardens, contributing to the creation of over 1,200 square metres of garden space to grow herbs, flowers, fruit and veggies to improve community food security, and provided over 1,200 organic lunches for the Work for the Dole participants who eat at the Albert Park Railway Station, and contributed to numerous permaculture and gardening events and workshops and education. So the permaculture philosophy, and what I wanted to just bring up here, apart from the 3 main tenets of caring for people, the earth and the sharing of surplus, is that I see this as this wonderful nexus between culture and nature. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about human beings being in connection more intimately with nature. We depend on nature. We're from nature. Everything in this room comes from the natural world, and yet we forget that so easily. And Les was very right in pointing out that it's very much about sustaining the community, the people's side, in order for a garden to be truly successful and to meet the needs of that community. You need the people to actually maintain that garden, grow that garden, be there to contribute to it. But I would also like to emphasise the point that the construction of gardens are equally important. Getting things done on time, in budget, bringing the right people on board, working with your local governments, working with the different stakeholders is all just as important. And while I don't want to dissuade anyone, I think, we can all go out and create community gardens, I also wanted to underline that they are complex. You know, bringing people together in any situation tends to be a complex thing. But introducing people back to natural processes and the time it takes to grow a garden and food and those natural processes are also somewhat incompatible with our modern way of life. At the Sowing the Seeds conference, which was held exactly a week ago today, there were some great quotes by Trevor Budge, who is the president of the Victorian Division of the Planning Institute of Australia. And he says that there's an estimated 30% of the world's food production actually happens in urban centres. And for Australia, that's 25%. That's a quarter of our food is still being grown within the metropolitan region and on the peri-urban fringe. Now, if you add to that what people are now growing in their backyards, I would estimate that's at least another 10%. That's 35% of food production. So there is definitely, and as David has pointed out very readily, a huge argument for producing more food in our own backyards and in cities. Okay, the first garden that I'm going to go through with you is Port Melbourne Primary School, and what I will do is actually outline the process, which is actually similar for all of these gardens. It's just that slight things change, like the budget or the stakeholders, but the process remains the same. So we were invited to help Port Melbourne Primary School create a kitchen garden, and there was already a space assigned for a small amenity garden, and it was a perfect space to actually create food gardens. So on a very small budget, we used a lot of recycled materials and created 8 rotating wedge-shaped beds made from corrugated iron. The people involved were the Port Melbourne Primary School, the Ardoc Youth Foundation, Inner South Community Health Services, some funding through the Australian Department of Health and Ageing through the Nutrition and Physical Activity Section Healthy Schools Community Initiative. That's a big mouthful. City of Port Phillip, volunteers from ANZ South Melbourne who were involved as corporate volunteers, and from the local community, and then Garden of Eden. In this picture, I'm sorry, it's very hard to see, there's some volunteers down the bottom actually working on the herb garden, and aside from the main vegetable beds used for growing food, we had a whole stack of beds for ornamental, aromatic, culinary herbs and fruit trees planted into wine barrels. The top photo actually shows the lawn that was there. It was an empty space with benches and some maple trees planted around the side, and then we transformed it into food production. And within 3 months, those beds were absolutely abundant. This is the opening of the kitchen garden. The mayor of Port Phillip, Janet Bolitho, was there with lots of school children, a lot of the health services people and the families, and they all got to take home a beautiful seedling and plant that in their own garden. Very, very successful. The kids are involved in environmental and food and arts workshops and getting involved at the garden at a number of different levels. But as with all of these projects, what's really important is to keep those people ongoing. That requires funding, and for whatever you do in that garden to be integrated into the school curriculum so that it really becomes part of what the school takes on. It's not just a separate thing that happens because a few people are passionate about it. And the garden actually won the City of Port Phillip Civic Project of the Year Award in the government school category for fruit and veggies, which is great. Now, this is Western Lodge Kitchen Garden. This is a transition house in Footscray. And the people involved in this garden were Vic Health through their Food for All funding, Maribyrnong City Council, the Western Region Health Centre, the Western Lodge staff and residents, Arts Access Community Arts Workers, and Garden of Eden. Another great space where you can take the before and after shots. The garden was really just an empty courtyard space with some green grass and some ornamental planting around the side. At the top, there's a barbecue, which, as you will see in the following photos, gets transformed into a planter box for a lemon tree. This is Ben Quinn. Ben was the support worker at Western Lodge, fantastic advocate of what we were doing. He absolutely loved coming out on afternoons when he could work with the residents of Western Lodge and a landscape supervisor that we provided to build the garden over a couple of weeks' time. A lot of the materials were actually from on site. There was some leftover bluestone, some recycled bricks. We found an old toilet bowl, which actually got planted up with succulents, some old wood and trellising, which was recycled. So a lot of the material costs were actually brought down by using what was available close by. couple more shots of the garden. We were also really fortunate to be there at the time that the Arts Access workers were there. They were making these wonderful cane coverings with tissue paper to cover the fluorescent lights in the dining room. And then in beautiful fashion, what they were doing translated into these fantastic cane sculptures for the garden used for growing beans and peas and any other climbers. And they also created the beautiful prayer flags, which were hung up from the trees to the sides of the buildings. 1 minute. Okay. Braybrook is another fantastic project. This project actually had a lot of funding thrown at it. It's in the western suburbs. People involved in this particular project were Neighbourhood Renewal, Maribyrnong City Council, Mission Australia through the Work for the Dole program, the Braybrook Community Centres and staff, local residents and volunteers, primary schools, artisan builders and Garden of Eden. With the significant budget, this garden had a huge straw bale shelter with wonderful mud rendering and local ochres, a cob oven, an orchard, a bush food garden, entryway sculptures, a huge sculpture up on the post. And it's an interesting project because I don't think it's as successful as it could have been, but the process of creating the garden was fantastic for the local people involved. And in particular, a mother and daughter duo, Lila and Nat, had a wonderful time contributing to the garden through learning about sculpture, actually bringing in plants to plant in the garden. They were there every week, come rain, come shine, building, mixing the mud renders, building the cob oven. It was a really wonderful process just to see these people so engaged and passionate about what they were doing. That's harvest day. Again, in a very short time, because of the time of year that the garden went in, heaps and heaps of fantastic produce came out and we were able to celebrate that garden. There were also a number of events that were organised by ALSA, who was working then with Maribyrnong City Council to get a lot of the community involved in the garden. Around Braybrook, people actually have a lot of space to grow veggies in their backyards, but this particular garden was a focus for bringing people together to learn about sustainability, food growing, to share cultural events. The Big Day Out, the Braybrook Big Day Out, is a big festival that brings in a lot of the diverse cultures in the area, like the Somali and Sudanese people, the older European people, the older, even older back Anglo-Saxon community that's already there. So a really diverse mix of people. Again, more shots of the garden. And I'll finish on Flemington Community Garden. This garden was the largest garden that we've put in. We've done a number of gardens in public housing and they're incredibly successful because people are just so desperate to have some open space and to be able to grow the food of their culture. They are incredibly important gardens. This garden is in between the huge housing estate blocks and the freeway at a place called Debney's Park. Wedged in right there. This is a before shot. It took about 3.5 years. This garden was actually deconstructed because of soil contamination. And then by the time the funding came through and the processes to actually get that garden up and running again, it was 3.5 years. These are some of the Turkish gardeners and East Timorese. They're actually harvesting the wild nettles that were just coming up once the garden beds had been created before they were allocated for growing. Vasily is down in one corner. He came for one day, Vasily of Vasily's garden, to film and talk to the gardeners on a planting day. And this is Pete's beautiful chook shed, which was designed based on an African design with the egg nesting boxes on the wall and beautifully mud rendered again. Down in the corner, we have two of the Work for the Dole participants, Jesus and David from Chile and El Salvador. I always marvel at the way that people with the right skills turn up at the right time in these projects, and these two were fantastic. They were actually showing us how to do this cobbing in a beautiful, very neat and beautifully finished way. So I'm nearly finished. Lots of huge beds, like I think there's about 126 beds in this garden, from right down on the ground to raised beds for people with any sort of disability, totally chocked full of veggies. And we also ran a couple of art workshops with the residents to put outdoor paintings on the external fencing, a Flemington Archer ball. So it was really, really great fun. There are more projects, but I don't have time to go through them now. But just to give you a hint that community gardens are incredibly varied. They can be small, they can be large, they can be older communities, school communities, you name it. Really, they're applicable just about anywhere and would really encourage you to think about getting one started up. Also, next March 2007, from the 20th to the 25th, is the Australian City Farms and Community Gardens National Conference. This year, the focus is on cities feeding people, grow it where you live. It's a joint initiative between Ceres, Cultivating Community, Garden of Eden, the Seed Savers, and the Collingwood Children's Farm. It's going to be fantastic. For any more information about that, you can contact Ceres and they can sign you up and let you know more about the program. Thank you very much.
That was Les Tate at Amanis Lachetta talking about the benefits of community gardens. You've been listening to Sustainable Voices, the show that explores the landscape of sustainability and its people. For more information on the Garden of Eden project, go to www.gardenofedenproject.net.au. For more information on this show, and for an archive of previous shows, go to whitepage.com.au/sustainablevoices. Thanks for listening.